views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
The truth is funny. With Colette Steffen, we'll have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success. Many people who shift out of limiting beliefs roar with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. The truth is funny. Shift happens. Feel instant relief. Stay tuned for more fun and release struggle and suffering. And now, here's your host, Colette Steffen.
Hi, this is Phil Free, filling in for Colette today. Welcome to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay tuned for the next hour to experience the instant relief of using your intuition to solve life's most challenging problems. Shift happens every Wednesday at 8 a.m. live on the airwaves and in the archives at thetruthisfunny.com, transformationtalkradio.com, and at transformationradio.fm. The energetic shifts are also accessible through the Higher Self Network if you are listening later. It is my pleasure to share life transformation, to share life transforming information and provide you with an opportunity to call in and delete energetic weaknesses to shift challenges into possibilities. We'd love to hear from you. Feel free to call in 1-800-930-2819. Today, I have my brother as a guest, Michael Deliage, again. We're going to be talking some more about psychology, about the Enneagram and Myers-Briggs and energy. And we're going to be talking about parenting today. So we're going to be talking about how, parents can benefit from knowing this energetic knowledge as well as psychology. We're going to get into the psychology quite a bit today here. Now, I have my brother here. Are you with us?
Yes. Good morning. How are you doing today?
Not bad. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on the show again.
Sure. Thanks for being here. Basically, so we're going to use your expertise to talk a little bit about this. So why don't we just launch right into it? So you and I were talking about this a little bit over the last few days and stuff, and I thought I'd ask you about students and school. So would you say that students, some of their struggles in school have to do with the system not really understanding all the different psychological personalities, and perhaps they're only catering to a few specific personality types?
Yes, I think that our school system tends to have a one-size-fit-all model, and it seems to cater just to more to particular types of students and personality types than others. Like, one thing that quickly comes to mind is a lot of, whether it's schools or universities, at most class grade levels require student participation as a part of the grade, and naturally, that would hurt introvert students just because they're more likely to be in their minds and want to work things out in their mind and want to work by themselves more than the working group projects. So that's like a clear example of how an introvert student might be at a disadvantage in terms of grade if participation is part of the grade.
Right. So, yeah, most people have heard about this idea of introverts and extroverts. So you're saying that introverts are going to be at a disadvantage because it's not so much their nature to speak up as much as the extroverts.
Yes, because that's correct. In a nutshell, basically, extroverts are energized by being around people, and they tend to think out loud. So they'll be more likely to jump into answering the question and kind of talk their answer out, while an introvert student will want that time to kind of reflect, take it in, and then respond. But by the time they're ready to respond, if they feel up to it, one or two extroverted students might have already raised their hand.
Uh-huh, right. So you're not a huge fan of this 10% for class participation in a sense, feeling like it's only really good for about, or it's only kind of appealing to about half the kids.
Yeah, right. It seems to me that it unfairly docks points or grades from particular kids just because of how they gain their energy.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks for that insight. It's not cool necessarily that's happening, but thank you for that knowledge. I want to ask you also about how other aspects of our personality, you know, are not necessarily catered to. For example, when it comes to, like, if you were a teacher, how would you structure class, you know, differently if you were dealing, you know, how would you deal with your J students and P students? And before answering that, maybe explain again what J and P means in the Myers-Briggs for those who don't know.
Right. So in a nutshell, J and P deals about how we organize our everyday life, how we go about our everyday life. So like in a nutshell, J's like the things have liked are task oriented. They like to make a list of things to do, and they like things decided. While P students like perceivers, as they're called, they're open to respond to whatever happens, take things as they come. They tend to work more in bursts of energy than a steady approach. And they like to keep a general guideline of things, and then as the deadline gets closer, they're getting a clearer picture of that. So if I know that I have a perceiver student, I'm more likely just to say, okay, this is your homework for the week. You have an English paper due, a history book to read, and an art project to do by Friday. Please have it done at the end of the week. And once in a while, it'll be good to check in with the perceiver, see how students and see how they're coming along. The J student's going to want more structure, meaning on Tuesday you should be halfway through your history book. By Wednesday, you should be mostly done with your art project. And on Wednesday as well, you should have your first draft of your English essay. So both can make excellent students, but it's very important to be aware of how two different students might thrive based on different structures of homework and class courses.
Right. So basically, in a nutshell, the J's like perhaps a little bit more structure or like laid out structure from the get-go. The perceivers like a little bit of freedom in how to operate. Would that be kind of the nutshell?
Yes. In a nutshell, yeah. Perceivers like open, like to participate, and J's are going to want more like small but achievable deadlines bit by bit.
Right. So can you also, just for those who are listening for the first time and don't know much about this, can you explain a little bit more about some differences between J and P, like just in general? What's a general characteristic of a J and a P?
So a P is someone that wants just to, when it comes to planning things out or just organizing their day or approaching work, they want basically the rough guidelines and then just the general information. And as the project develops or they move along during the course of the week, the pieces come together and the pieces come together. Well, and they more like to work in bursts of energy. They can work hard, and they'll take a break, work hard. Well, Jay is more of a very planned out, methodical worker. They want to get X amount done by Monday, X amount done by Tuesday, X amount done by Wednesday. They love to have a list of to do things, when to do it by, and they like to have things decided. So once they decide on something, they usually don't like to change that decision. While a perceiver
right.
is open to more information as it comes.
Yeah, so the J's seem to like to organize their planning and be planned ahead a little ahead of time a little bit more, and the perceivers like to go with the flow a little more. We're going to be coming up on a break here in the next few seconds, so we'll pick this back up after the break. I just want to say that I want to tell the audience that they can call in if they want to. The number is 1-800-930-2819. You're listening to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio, and we'll be back to make some shift happen.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness Meditation Retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Tune in to The Truth is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit ThriveByJen.com today.
1230 WBLQ. Hi, we are back on The Truth is Funny. I am Phil Free, filling in for Colette today. My guest is Michael Deliage. Before we continue, can you share your contact information with our audience?
Yes, of course. The best way to reach me would be via email at m_deliage@yahoo.com. And my phone number is 415-250-5268.
Great. Well, I'd also like to remind the audience, if anybody wants to talk about this or get any energetic shifts, feel free to call in. The number is 1-800-930-2819. We're going to get back to the topic here. Let's talk about learning and school and things like that, and our kids, how kids learn, how we all learn, and how it's important to understand that we have different ways of taking in information. So we've been talking a little bit about introverts and extroverts. We've been talking a little bit about judgers and the perceivers, which is J and P in the Myers-Briggs psychology system. Now we're going to talk about the S and the N. Would you explain what that is?
Yeah, so sensing and intuition is what they stand for. So someone who's a sensor, or a kid that is a sensor, student that is a sensor, will want the facts, details, more sequential thinking, like cause and effect, and step-by-step how one thing led to another. While intuitive is more that they're more interested in seeing the big picture and the general themes, and then as they learn more about it, then they find out the details, the facts, things of that sort. They're more interested necessarily in the big theories that lead to such events, or the big theories behind anything they're learning. And they might actually get bogged down if you get too much the nitty gritty.
So, if you were the teacher, what's an example of how you would give an example, maybe in two different ways, one to appeal to the sensor and one to appeal to the intuitive?
Right. So here's one. We're going to talk about, let's say, like how Germany started World War One. And so even though we're saying the same thing, here's one way of saying it. And in this case, let's start with this. How I would say to a sensor student, you might say something like, "Today we will discuss three events that led to World War One. The first is German nationalism. Second War of 1871, so on and so forth." But for an intuitive student that wants to see the main themes, the big picture, I might present the same thing, but in this way, saying, "Let's examine Germany's political system at the turn of the century and how it might have instigated the First World War." So you see how we were actually talking about the same topic, but how you present it will engage a sensing student differently than how you might engage intuitive students.
Mm-hmm. So would that might also explain why, you know, every year as we change, you know, teachers in school, you know, there's some we like, some we don't. Perhaps we resonate some of them, you know, perhaps one year we're an intuitive ourselves and we get an intuitive teacher. Maybe some sensors get a sensor teacher and they don't even understand why they connect with that teacher more than the previous year's teacher, but would this help explain that?
Yes, it would, especially sensing, I think with education and parenting, it's not always clear in the outside, but if you take the time and to really notice how your kid learns, they can just really thrive in school. Sometimes they're misdiagnosed as not being a good student, but it's just how they present the information, and they might absorb it in a lot better way.
Mm-hmm. And then, since we've been talking about these different letters, the last combination would be T and F. Would you talk about that, the thinker and the feeler?
Yeah, of course. Thinker and feeler is... It means how we make decisions. And the thing I want to dispel is not that thinker students or kids don't have feelings. It's more that they look for consistency and they like things that are technical, kind of logic and objective. And they want to be, and they look for fairness. They value that. While someone is feeling doesn't mean they don't think, but more that they put their personal morals. And they make decisions from their heart. They want to be compassionate. They like to look at someone's background to make decisions, mitigate, and like be open to like mitigating circumstances. So it really deals with how students and individuals as a whole come to make decisions.
Okay, so when it comes to like a teacher giving positive reinforcement, if you were that teacher, how would you do it differently if you're giving it to a thinker and a feeler?
So with a feeler student, again, they tend to make decisions from the heart and put their hearts on their sleeve. So they are going to generally want more positive reinforcement at many steps along the way, because that for them that's going to show that either a parent or a teacher cares about them and hence cares about the work they're doing. while a thinker is just going to want direction and goals, and they might think that if they're getting praise along the way, that's not very professional or responsible from the parent or their teacher, they actually might add pressure to them. They'll want the support once the job is done. So that's important in terms of feedback for your child or student.
Okay, so like if you're a teacher listening, perhaps, and you notice that you're like some students, when you're giving them positive reinforcement, are enjoying it, while others are like kind of pushing back. You know, maybe note that in the pushback ones might be the thinkers that want the positive reinforcement more when the job is done. What you're saying, like at the end, saying, "Oh, well, job well done," when it's all over, but not having somebody hovering over their shoulder, kind of feeling while they're working.
Yes, that's correct. So again, if you have a thinker child or a thinker student, they generally want objectives and clarity, and then know their end task. So if they might actually see this disingenuous or distracting if you keep on complimenting them and they'll appreciate the affirmation, but for them it might not seem as genuine because they might just think, oh, well, I haven't completed this yet. The job's not done yet. Why are you telling me this?
Right. Perhaps a thinker, teacher, if you're not used to giving the positive reinforcement to the feelers along the way, maybe that's something that just try out, see if it helps those students.
Yeah, no.
Is that something you would encourage?
Yeah, I think that'd be very important because a feeler tends more likely to be subjective and put their heart into something or a project or homework. And if they don't get that feedback, they might just think, well, the teacher or my parent doesn't care about me, hence they don't really care about my work. Why should I try? So if that's not your natural tendency, it's very important to be able to still be aware of that, because for students there are more of the feeler types.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, are there examples of how you might explain information a little bit if you're presenting a topic as a teacher to a thinker and a feeler?
So, yes. A thinker, again, I think whether you're talking about a book or a play and you want to prepare your students for a play or even history like we were talking previously, thinkers just generally want to know the bottom line. They want clarity, and so they're not going to want too much of the backstory. They're going to see that as trivial, not very relevant, and things of that sort. While a feeler is going, they want to really know. They tend to want to put themselves in other people's shoe and understand people in each different situation. So they're more likely to want to hear people's personal story, the background behind that. So
kind of,
that's important to convey to that message to thinkers and to feelers.
Got it. Yeah, it's kind of funny as you're saying that. What comes to mind is I remember from years ago when American Idol was so popular, and like you know with some of the guests or whatever, it was like they would get into their story and everything, and it was always like, you know, some people would just kind of tune out. Some of the audience, you could tell, would be like, oh yeah, this is the sentimental part or whatever, while other people like ate that stuff up. Would you say this kind of appealed really to the feelers in a sense?
Yeah, I think in a way it does. American Idol or shows like that would, because it's about encouraging, cheering them on, and sometimes like really empathizing or connecting with their story. So you know, things like more often you'll see that the audience will respond more to feelers.
Right. All right. Well, we're gonna have to take a break here, so we'll be right back. Calls if you guys want to call in at 1-800-930-2819. Otherwise, we'll keep talking about this topic and we'll be right back to make some more shift happen.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
In this day and age, if you don't reinvent yourself, you may never find balance, peace, and the sustainable life that is your birthright. Angela Watson Robertson, known as the Reinvention Warrior and the host of breakthrough radio show Masters of Reinvention, is here to help you reinvent every area of your life. Tune in and hear from the best in the personal transformation business and discover tips and tools for positive change. Live every month on Transformation Talk Radio.
What is a brilliant culture and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Tune in to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio to harness your connection with the universe to effect change for optimal success and happiness. Named one of the country's top psychics, Eve now brings her insights and gifts to this weekly hit call-in show, joined by visionaries, leaders, and gifted others, but mostly you. Jot it down, Thursdays, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, this is Phil Free. You're listening to The Truth Is Funny. If you want to learn about any of Colette's events, you can check it out. You can check out her events at thetruthisfunny.com. And she's got a book. She's got paintings. She's got all kinds of things. She's got a coloring book out now if you want to check that out. So, yeah, feel free to visit that. Check out all her fun stuff. We're going to get back to the topic here with my brother here, who's the guest, Michael. We're going to talk, going to continue talking about parenting, about some school, how we learn, things like that. We're going to, would you tie in a little bit? We've been talking about these letters, the Myers-Briggs. And we, and at the beginning, I mentioned we talked about Enneagram. Could you just talk also about the Enneagram and a little bit of the correlation that you make between the two? Are you there? So we may have lost him here. So
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, and here he is. Okay. So you heard the question?
Yes, I have. So
okay, go.
So a lot of times, again, I've noticed and I've seen and researched general patterns between the numbers and the letters. And again, there are 9 numbers in the Enneagram. No number is better than the other. It's just each number has its strengths and then its struggles. So, for example, like a 1 child will often be an extrovert, sensor, thinker, and judger, while, let's say, a 4 child will often be an introvert, intuitive, feeler and perceiver. And you could have other examples where a Phi child will be an I, SRN, sensor intuitive, thinker or judger. So a lot of times knowing the number will also help gauge all of those letters for you, and it'll help cover how they like to, whether they like to work by themselves with other people, how to get information, how to make decisions. So it can really, really fast track your understanding of your child.
Mm-hmm. So in a sense, like maybe you're just saying that the Enneagram and the numbers get into a little bit more detail about the personality. And since they split it into 9 numbers and then additional subtypes, you get a little more specific view about the personality maybe. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's right. Because it does go deeper, because you could have the same letter combination but different numbers. So they might have a lot of similarities into how they take information and how they get energized, but how their core strengths and weaknesses might be very different. For example, an ENFP might be a 2 or a 7.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, over the break, you said you wanted to ask me a question.
Yeah, so I want to ask you, in your energetic healing, and do you often have either parents or maybe older adults or young adults contacting you and just saying, I just don't understand my parents, or I don't understand my kid. We always seem to bunt heads, fight, things like that. Do you often come into that, and what are some of the energetic things that you tune into or struggles when you're trying
sure.
to help that those people help people?
Uh-huh. So basically, from an energy standpoint, I mean, yeah, you can sense when people get each other and when they don't get each other so much, even like they're speaking the same language, but they're not really getting each other, or they're not speaking the same language in another way. And maybe he's both speaking English, but not the same language. So that happens very, very commonly. It is also pretty common for, you know, a child or, you know, maybe two or, you know, several children, even sometimes in the family, to take on the same personality type as their parents. But it's pretty uncommon that like everybody in the family has the same personality type exactly.
Right.
That I find quite uncommon. So yeah, you are going to find kids and parents who are going to butt heads about how to go about things. Like you just kind of talked about, the 1 and the 4 could have very different letters, as can the 4 and the 8, for example. And so sometimes, yeah, when you have like why don't you talk, like, I know we've talked about things, you know, about personal dynamics in the past, but for example, like, it's funny, you and I've had this conversation in the past, but there's some very famous characters from some science fiction movies, Luke and Darth Vader. What personality types would you say they are?
So Luke
numbers.
Is a 4, which is known as the individualist. Which they see the big picture. They like to see people for who they are. They tend to be more. They're introverted. They see humanity on a grand scale, and generally wear their heart on their sleeves. Well, like Darth Vader is definitely the ESTJ type. Not really emotions. They have usually a hard time connecting to that. Very people oriented, task driven, detail oriented. So being complete, in a lot of ways, are complete opposites, which can lead to a lot of headbutting.
Right. So when you have like a family with a son and a father with a 4 and an 8, like Luke and Vader, that can certainly be a challenge. And, you know, there's all kinds of dynamics like that out in the world. So if you think your kid is really weird, or if you think your parents just, you know, just really weird or different, or you don't understand them, then you might be running into that situation. And I know for myself, this helps me a lot. It would have helped me a lot to know this as a younger person as well. And because, people didn't understand me, and I didn't understand a lot of people myself. So I've experienced this, and I experienced it a lot, you know, like you asked, when people come to me and ask for help, I definitely see that they don't understand each other. I might be dealing with a thinker parent and a feeler kid. But now that I know this information, it's really, it gives me something to pinpoint. It pinpoints what to look at for me, and I'm able to shift the energy a lot quicker in a sense. Now that I know this, I know what to look for. I know it puts me right in the ballpark right away.
What would you say is, in terms of, is in your experience, generally the biggest source of conflict? Is it between feelers and thinkers, or extroverts and introverts, or is it perceivers and judges, or is it kind of equal across the board?
Well, my perception is, we've talked about it before, but, honestly, as I live life, it's a little bit, it could be across the board. There's definitely differences across the board, but, often a thinker and a feeler in an argument, you'll notice like they'll come from very different places. I noticed that dynamic happens a lot. I notice sensors intuitive when it comes to processing information. They're extremely different. If you're going to describe something, it's like, I would say that, often, like, the sensor can't see the forest for the trees, whereas the intuitive sees the forest, but, as a whole right away, even if you're just looking at a few trees. It depends which aspect of life we're dealing with. If it's an argument or something, yeah, thinkers and feelers definitely butt heads a lot. If it's kind of a way of presenting information, it's, I would say sensors and intuitives really do things, process differently. Of course, the judge or planner thing, they can butt heads too if they're too much. But if you have the good interaction, where one accepts, the more leadership role or whatever, and the other one's okay to kind of, go with it, then that works a lot of times. But any of them can really butt heads. How about you? What would you say?
I would say definitely, I think the feeler thinker, because how they make decisions seems to be often a big source of conflict. And again, it's because they tend to judge what's different as wrong. So, like, a thinker might determine, oh, well, this feeler's been melodramatic. They don't have, they're not being objective. They're just not very with it. And then a feeler might just deem a thinker who was just objective, who looks at the facts and punts. The personal background might see a thinker as like cold hearted, ununderstanding, kind of remorseless. And and when we don't understand about the other preference, let's say, we tend to judge and hence put negative traits on that. And with this knowledge, I think you can kind of at least come to a point of mutual understanding.
Right. So going back to kind of your question about the parents and the kids understanding each other, sometimes you might have a mild-mannered parent, maybe something like a 5 who's like kind of an introvert and, analytical, and maybe they have a child who's like a 7 and stuff like that. And their 7 child is very bouncy and sort of unfocused. And, it's funny because, that could be a very good combination, which you can get into in a moment. But if they don't know this about each other, you could see how they could be a little bit like the parent might see their child as a little bit irritating or maybe have even ADD or something like that. Would you get into that for a minute?
Yes, that's a very good point you bring up. I definitely seems that in the example that you say, like, so a 5 again is usually an ISTJ introvert, either sensing intuitive thinker judger, while for example a 7 is almost always an extrovert intuitive feeler perceiver. So sometimes the conflict comes into play is that a parent might say, oh, wow, this person is scattered, they're impulsive, they just very, are not very objective and kind of have these big, grandiose, harebrained ideas. And the child might think of their 5 parent as cold-hearted, not being able to think outside the box and rigid. And that's dangerous when you make those assumptions. But even if you don't always agree, at least it helps you understand where the child or where the parent is coming from. And that's how this information can be so helpful.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, we're going to keep talking about that. I mean, we got a break coming up really soon here, so I'm not going to elaborate on that at the moment. But maybe when we come back, we could actually talk about that specific dynamic that we just mentioned, the 5 and the 7. How it could be positive, though, for the child, though, that they have a 5 being a 7. We'll talk with you, share about that when we get back from the break.
All right. Sounds great.
Cool. Well, this is Phil Free filling in for Colette today. If anybody wants to call in for the last segment, take a quick call. It'd have to be a short one. The number is 1-800-930-2819. We'd love to help you out with anything. And feel free to call in, and we'll be right back to make some more shift happen.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
In this day and age, if you don't reinvent yourself, you may never find balance, peace, and the sustainable life that is your birthright. Angela Watson Robertson, known as the Reinvention Warrior and the host of breakthrough radio show Masters of Reinvention, is here to help you reinvent every area of your life. Tune in and hear from the best in the personal transformation business and discover tips and tools for positive change. Live every month on Transformation Talk Radio.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Tune in to the Psychic Professor's Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio. Featuring a variety of spiritual topics such as psychic art, spiritualism, EVP, psychic development, and mediumship. This hit call-in show provides listeners with breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten their lives. Visit spiritartgallery.net for show days and times.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
1230 WBLQ. Hi, we're back on The Truth Is Funny. I am Phil Free, filling in for Colette today. You can reach me at whatphil@hotmail.com. That's whatphil@hotmail.com if you have any questions. I have Michael Deliage here with me. Would you like to share your email with us again?
Yes, of course. My email is m_deliage@yahoo.com.
Great. So yeah, we're going to get into back into the topic here. Basically, we were talking about the numbers a little bit here. We had talked about like fives and sevens, fours and ones and eights and all that. I'd said before the break, I'd asked you if you'd talk about how the five parent could be beneficial to the seven child. Excuse me. So that is the five parent, how they could be beneficial to the seven child when they understand this knowledge.
Yeah, of course. So each number has a direction of disintegration. When they're struggling under stress, they kind of digress into certain traits, and each number also has a direction of integration. So as they become wiser, more mature, healthier as people, they learn the virtues of their number of integration. So an example you said is fits perfectly. A seven integrates into a five. So a five parent could really help a seven use that enthusiasm and energy to really focus and master a few things. And because sevens will love to try different things, and they are very energetic, but they go in bursts, and they might be a little bit scattered. So five will help them slow down a little bit and just help them focus on a few tasks that see those through. And so that's how a five parent can really help a seven, for example.
Uh-huh. And so we were also talking about over the break about how some, like in the school systems, there's some numbers that seem to struggle, at least in the American system these days. What would you say about that, and what numbers are they?
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up. Unfortunately, our school system in America tends to be a one-size kind of fits all. So a lot of times, fours and sevens are in a way the most unfairly treated. And what I mean by that is that a lot of times counselors or even psychologists are going to push medications on fours or sevens. And again, the four is the individualist, and the seven is the enthusiast. And so a four who doesn't like structure, is bored with routine, who's also an introvert, might they like their quiet time, they kind of think the big ideas and kind of go with the flow and don't like structure, they might be prescribed antidepressants, because someone might say, oh, this kid doesn't want to get involved, they're super quiet, they're spending a lot of time by themselves, they don't seem really focused. And it's not that fours are bad students, but because that usually conflicts a lot with how school is structured, people often might push antidepressants on fours. And while the seven is kind of like a four, they're big pictures, they go with the flow, they're creative types, they wear hard on their sleeves, but with their extroverted element, they tend to bounce around a lot, very bubbly and jovial, and go from one thing to another.
So that's the sevens you're talking about now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the enthusiast, that's the seven, right. So a lot of times a parent or a school counselor might say, oh boy, this person can't focus, they have ADD or ADHD. And it's not that, it's more that the seven likes to try different things and is learned by kind of jumping into different things. So a lot of times fours and sevens are unfortunately seem to be the most misunderstood when it comes to schools and even with parents and how to like education.
That's funny because I was a four, or I am a four, and then one of my good friends when I was young was a seven, and we hung out a lot together for a few years, and it was interesting. So we were exactly that dynamic, and I think we were seen a little bit as the troublemakers of the class, for many years.
Yeah, and would you say that a lot of times you're faced, because of that, you're just kind of like people would unfairly make assumptions or judgments about you two?
It's hard for me to answer that. I can't say for sure what people were thinking. I could say about maybe the people I knew who are close to me, like my parents, or maybe some of the people, my friends that shared, these things sometimes. Yeah, I mean, I think, for me, come off as the weird type, a little bit, what comes to mind a little bit, like maybe perhaps that character, another, you know, reference here to a movie here, but like in Stand By Me, like Gordy character a little bit. He comes off a little bit as a four, you know, a little bit like, you know, not necessarily standoffish, but kind of in his own world, in his head, you know, friendly with people and nice and, you know, and all that, but in his own world and very imaginative and that kind of stuff, And yeah, I feel like I was kind of that kid a lot. And yeah, I don't know. You know, I think that for me, we were talking about that a little bit before the show. And for me, as it came up as a kid, is it's like I could be really content just doing my own thing, find a little corner of the playground and do my own thing. And then there would still be some kids or somebody who would just come up and sort of disturb my peace, you know, an ongoing sort of theme in life, you know, for I think a lot of fours.
And would you say that you had a lot of teachers or parents even try to like say, oh, and push you to be more social and always getting you to interact with people when sometimes you wanted just space to just to come
right.
up with your creative
yeah.
ideas?
Yeah, and particularly as the 4-5, I think the 4-5 have, you know, with the 5-wing, we haven't gotten too much into that, but we're a little less structured than the one with the 4 with the 3-wing. But yes, particularly for us 4-5s, I think we're told a lot to be, some of the ongoing messages we get from, you know, parents, schools or whatever is often like to be more structured, to like get our head out of the clouds, you know, just kind of, you know, get our feet on the ground. That was a big one, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, so, you know, that kind of thing. Focus, you know, get back to this, like, you know, just those kinds of things. Those were messages that came a lot. We're gonna need to wrap up this whole topic. Is there anything about this that you want to say, and any overview or any final points that you want to make about this?
The final point I would just say is, as parents and as teachers, I think we can agree that we really care about the child, our children, or our students, and I think that it the Enneagram and energetic healing and Myers-Briggs can really, really help give you insight into each particular child, and any knowledge you can get about a specific child can only help their growth. That's what I have to say.
Right. Yeah. So I would say, I would echo that. I would encourage, you know, the listeners, and a lot of them are probably more on the parent side of things. There's probably not a whole lot of kids listening to now. I'm assuming they're at school and stuff. But if they do hear this, it's great. Same time, for the parents to also know themselves, to learn about themselves, find out what your own number is, to understand that, you know, not everybody perceives things the way we do, that everybody in life, humans tend to think that, well, this is my point of view, and anybody who doesn't see the world the way I do is kind of dumb or slow or something like that. And when we get into the psychology stuff, we realize that's absolutely not the case. And we're like, okay, well, I process it this way, but I understand that this other person might process it in a completely opposite way. And when we know that about ourselves, how we process ourselves, and think, and it helps a lot, then we also learn about our children, and we learn how they learn. And then that helps them a lot. And we can, you know, we can't always cater everything specifically to everybody, but the more we know, the more we can, and the more everybody can thrive. But we are going to wrap up the show here because we're running out of time. And so I just want to say it's a pleasure to connect with all of you out there in the audience. I want to say thanks to my brother.
Thank you for having me on.
Being on the show.
Thanks
to Brian. And Colette will be back next week, Wednesday, 8 a.m. And bye for now.
You've been listening to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan. Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. The Truth Is Funny. Visit thetruthisfunny.com for more information. That's thetruthisfunny.com.